You're listening to Home Business Profits with Ray Higdon, where Ray shares tips and strategies for how to become a top earner in your company. Let's get into the episode.
We are going to bring up Lee Davis. Lee, how are you?
Hi, I'm wonderful. Thank you for having me.
Yes, yes. Excited to have you on here. And so you probably know what I'm going to ask you, but tell me where you're at and where you think I can help.
So this is my second go around as an Inner Circle coachee, and it's been incredible. The growth that I really feel like the success I had last year, I got some really great accolades from my company and some self-growth, which has been amazing. And I feel like I have been on a almost like a treadmill of doing something really well and then pulling back. I have that kind of been working with that with Jenny. Love her so much. She's amazing.
Which Jenny? We got a couple.
Otter.
Okay.
Yeah. I love her so much. She's amazing. We've had some really great breakthroughs in emotional stuff. And I'd love to get through that and maybe figure out why I can't allow myself to actually have the success. I've been craving the accolades and the appreciation, and I've gotten that. But now I want to convert it and get it to the place where I'm getting the financial rewards as well. Consistently, my business is, I do this full time, and I pay all of our bills. This is what I do. But I feel like I'm constantly wearing the weight of everything, and I'd like to be joyful and love it instead of feeling like I'm carrying everything.
Expand on that a little bit. What do you mean by that?
So I have a 4-year-old. I pay all the bills, basically.
Are you married, I take it? Or okay. He doesn't work, or?
No, there's not a whole lot where we are currently. We're in a very small town in southern Utah, and there's not a lot of success opportunities for him. He doesn't have the entrepreneur mindset to grow anything himself.
Okay.
So it being the support system, which is amazing, and he does a great job. But I feel like I feel the weight, if that makes sense, of life.
Sure. Okay. So what's the trigger that has you pull back? Is it when you get some results?
And recognition. I want the recognition, but then I get some results, like I'll do something really well. And then I know what I need to do. I know the tasks I need to do. I just don't do them. Like I stop myself, or I'll find something else that I can do.
What triggers it though? Is it I just got a result, or I just got recognition that makes you pull back?
I think it is, I get recognition and then I can't live up to the recognition. I can't maintain it. And so I prove it to myself.
Okay. Do you have siblings?
I have 3 older brothers, and then I have a younger brother who is a Marine, and then I have a sister who is a, she's handicapped.
Okay. So it's more the, you get recognition. So to me, this is a, you know, it's a self-worth kind of thing. Of can you accept the praise? Can you accept the recognition, or do you reject it? Like if someone came up to you, so I'll give you an example right now. Phyllis Williams on here, she just says, "I love Lee. She's helped me so much."
Thank you, Phyllis.
Do you feel good about that? Do you accept that? Do you like? What's your take on that?
It fills my heart. Honestly, it makes me feel good that I can help people, and then I worry that I'm not able to help people enough.
So when people come up to you and give you a compliment, you're able to accept it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I guess Your parents, what did your parents have to do around like money and success? Were they successful, not successful?
So in my early life, we were, my dad had owned a business, and then business, he was injured and they closed the business. So we were always pinching pennies. But then as I got older, like in my 20s, they were both very successful salespeople in technologies. And I, but it, I think the early always pinching pennies because we had lived on his insurance and we traveled the country in a motorhome and a tent, which was amazing. But so no, they were not successful early on. They were, but then they weren't. It's kind of like a weird, we could do what we wanted to do, but there was always the we're pinching pennies in the background.
Yeah. So my take on this, and this happens a lot, is if you see an influential figure in your life as a kid have some level of success, lose it, we can very often draw the conclusion that, oh, if I achieve success, then I'm just going to lose it. So I don't want to lose it. So we'll create a ceiling of, let me get to here, because if I lose it from here, it's not that big a deal. But if up here, if I lost it up here, then ooh, that'd really be a problem. And so, how does that resonate with you?
That rings pretty true. That my fear of success is surrounded by the fear of falling.
Yeah. Because if things are always kind of not so great, then a disruption isn't that big a deal. It's when it's great that the disruption is a big deal. Like if you get used to filet mignons and you got to go to ramen noodles, that sucks. But if you're used to ramen noodles, not that big a deal. I could get a job and replace it.
Right.
And so, the thing here is, the first step is, and I've talked about this in RankMakers, but the first step is awareness of the program. Because without awareness in the program, you're on autopilot. You're just going to keep hitting that ceiling and keep, I'm not sure why I'm not motivated. I'm not sure why I stopped doing stuff. It just keeps happening. Just simply being aware of it, you can call the trigger out. You can say, hey, wait a minute. Right? You can see that emotion kick in that is trying to protect you. And that's what people don't understand is sometimes people say, well, I forgave my parents, or they ended up having success later on. Well, that doesn't stop the program that was created. The program was created. And so, like, the program's created, whatever happens after the program is created doesn't fix the program unless you become aware of the program and say, oh, I see you. I see you've been protecting me. Thank you. I release you. I don't need you anymore. And so we can live our whole lives with this program that we're not even aware of, and just always be, in this pattern of up and down.
I feel like it's something that I can create a new pathway with. I can create a new pattern. Because it's a muscle, right? The way we think about ourselves becomes a muscle if you can catch yourself long enough to build the muscle of this is where I'm at instead of here.
Where are you at, like right now? Are you in an upswing? Are you in a downswing? Or like, have you been getting some results lately? Or are you standstill? Or
I'm in a mid swing.
this one. So
Really
you're
good.
on the way up.
I think I'm on the way up. It's November. If you're not going up, there's an issue. I feel like Rank Makers, I attended Rank Makers Live and it was amazing. And I got a little boost from that, but I didn't maintain it. Like I'm really good at the day-to-day. Like I'm good at doing the basic daily activities and helping people. But sometimes the most important part is, offering the opportunity. I also fear conflict. Conflict is like my big, it's big for me, conflict. I hate conflict. And even the appearance of potential conflict, which is the Noli or, sometimes you,
Would you say the knowy? What do you
the
mean?
Noli, the no.
Oh, no, just rejection.
And rejection and potential argument. I hate it, argument. And so I had a really great week with Jenny not that long ago, and I was doing cold context, and it made me feel really good because I was building up a muscle. And then I slid back a little bit and I'm back into it this week, but it does seem to go up. Like I'll do really well and then I'll do again. It's like that, the up and down. Like I can celebrate I sent out, 10 messages. No one messaged me. No conflict. I'm okay. So.
I mean, the conflict probably comes from all those siblings. you're probably managed in a way, right? To not create conflict because they're just, parents are just trying to manage that many kids, and the least drama they can experience, the better, the more they can manage. And, what's your take on that?
I don't know. Maybe the older brothers are like 12 years older, so we didn't really spend that much time with them, but I'm the middle and I'm 3 years younger than my sister. And I think that's probably a good part of it because, she is handicapped. And so I try to balance things out, gotcha. I think.
Gotcha. So you actually feel bad creating any kind of conflict that would create attention because that's stealing it away from people that deserve it.
Negative attention, yeah.
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 And so, know that you don't, I never viewed people, saying no to the opportunity as conflict because I wasn't trying to close everybody. I'm just seeing who's open. So, hey, you open, take a look at what I got. No, I think it's really stupid. Okay. No problem. Next. Not a big deal. I just didn't get, emotionally attached. I cared more about my activity than their response. And so, I would, build that muscle. But another thing, what I would do is I would catch yourself when you are in that mode of you've been achieving or you've been, hitting some numbers and you'll still feel the program. Just because you're aware of the program doesn't mean the program doesn't try to fire. I still have my programs, fire much, much less powerful, much less frequent, but they still try to fire. And so I would create a counter muscle. So if you if you feel that, I don't want to do this stuff today, because you feel like you're getting close to, to success or something like that, then I would take that and go in the other direction. I would say, I'm going to double my messages today and start to be that defiant one. I'm going to be defiant to what my emotions are trying to get me to do that are only there because they've drawn the wrong conclusion to success and they're trying to keep me safe. And we don't need that program anymore. We don't need, because just because that happened with your parents doesn't mean it has to happen with you.
That's an interesting way to describe it. Be defiant, because I am the least defiant person that I know.
Right. And, I'm not suggesting that all of a sudden you start a rebel cause, or whatever, unless that floats your boat. But you do, for you to transform, you do have to be defiant to your emotion. They are emotional addictions. You can create different emotional addictions. So like, I have now created an emotional addiction to meditation. When I wake up in the morning, there are definitely mornings I don't feel like doing it. I gotta do it. Gotta. This is how lunatic I am and how addicted I am. So even when I went to the 7-day Joe Dispenza retreat, knowing that we're going to spend like 8 hours meditating, I still meditated before the workshop. And the one exception, when he started at 4 a.m., I did not meditate, although I felt myself want to. And I'm like, no, I had to really, really fight it because I built that addiction of needing to do it as soon as I woke up. So I woke up and I'm like, do I have time to do it? I'm like, no, don't do it. And so, but that's a good addiction. That's a good, if you get addicted to reaching out to 5 more people, when you feel that muscle try to slow you, that's a good thing. You're going to impact more people. You're going to make more money. You're going to, you know, whatever. And I would also just an identity is, you know, you said a couple times that, you know, I feel all the, you know, the weight, right? The weight of the world, the weight of, you know, paying the bills and everything. And, you know, I would just create a different energy around that. You know, I'm blessed to have the ability to provide for this family and step into that power, right? Because it's a power versus a handicap versus a disability. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Taking notes to remember.
Sure. But I would, you know, learn to be defiant, or else we're always going to be the slave to those emotional addictions, right? So, you know, one of the biggest, you know, probably the biggest breakthrough for me was, I have a program from my past that says, I'm not worthy. I'm not worth fighting for. I'm not a priority. And I've projected that on every relationship, business and personal, I've ever had in my entire life. And so there was a time not that long ago, I mean, definitely less than a year ago, where something came up between Jess and I, and I felt that program kick in. Like, oh, it's okay. I'm not a priority, you know, but it's still a great relationship. And I said, no, I don't want to feel that way. I don't want to think this way anymore. And so I became defiant. And that program did not like that. I literally thought I was losing my mind. I would close my eyes. My mind would race like crazy. I couldn't sleep. And it was, you know, what I refer to as a dark night of the soul, in that I was aware of who I was and how I was programmed. I no longer wanted to be it, but I didn't know how to show up. I didn't know what does it look like if I'm not ran by that autopilot program? What does that look like? I don't know. And so it was like a losing of identity. It was literally killing the old self. And, you know, it was the assassination of that identity that had been with me my entire life since I was 3 or 4 years old. And so that's, you know, that's defiance, is feeling that emotion. And it's that comfortable emotion that we're so familiar with, that we go back to all the time, that we look for proof of all the time. And it's saying, no, I don't want that proof. It doesn't serve me anymore. And by the way, it's not true. And so, like, us, you know, being defiant against that program that may have been with us our entire life. Because you know what you need to do. You know the tactics. You know what, you know, what you need to do. You just got to continue doing them past that safety net that you've you know, created, that can be dissolved. And it's going to, you know, take some work, but I know you can do it.
I can do it. And I have such great support. I
mean, yes,
getting joining the inner circle and having Jenny as my coach, and Ed Aubrey for a little while, and Marie. Yeah. They've helped me a lot.
Awesome.
The best choice I could have made was to be here. And
nice.
So much for creating this venue for us, for self-reflection and the tools that you guys provide. I watched a training with Forrest today on cold prospecting, because that's what I need to do.
Yeah.
Really powerful, this place that you've created for us. Thank you.
Awesome. I appreciate that. Well, awesome. So helpful.
Good to go. Yes, I think it's very helpful. I think the big key word for me here is defiant. Be defiant of that pattern. Be defiant of fear. Be defiant of not being proud of what I can do.
Yeah, being proud. Yeah, be proud. You can do it. You got. Yep. You're amazing. Well, we're rooting for you. Keep us in the loop, okay?
Thank you. Thank you so much. This has been so, so cool.
Awesome. Awesome. Great job.
You guys just do what Ray says.
Thank you for listening to Home Business Profits with Ray Higdon. And be sure to head over to rayhigdon.com/profits to download your free audio where Ray shares his 29 sources of network marketing leads. Tune in next time for more tips and strategies on how to become a top earner in your company.